Good morning, church. If this is your first time joining into our online service, we want to welcome you. You can go to mykec.ca website to learn more about us, about this church. And you're also free to leave a name in the chat room, and our pastors will be more than happy to connect with you and get to know you a little bit more. We're in the middle, or a little bit past the middle, of our sermon series, The Apocalypse, through the book of Revelation. And last week, we were talking about spiritual warfare, how we're all thrown in, whether you like it or not. But the good news is we are given a way to conquer, because our King, our Lord, Jesus Christ, He has already conquered by His death and resurrection. So we have a way to conquer as well. And today, I want to invite you to keep fighting this battle through praise and worship. I remember a worship leader, he once said, every word that enthrones Jesus dethrones the enemy in our lives. Every word that enthrones Jesus dethrones the enemy in our lives. And today I want to invite you to do that same thing, to enthrone Jesus with praise and worship, and to fight this spiritual warfare with praise and worship. We're going to be singing a couple of songs that have to do with His death and resurrection, His victory over death, and also what that means for us. So I want to invite you to join, to sing, use your hands to worship if you can, and join into this spiritual warfare. Let's pray, and then let's sing. So God, we're going to enter into this spiritual warfare. We thank You that You have already given us a way to conquer. I pray that You will help us all persevere and help us all to overcome the temptations, the enemy, and his tactics. And God, I pray that we will all be brave soldiers and courageous soldiers in this spiritual battle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Who love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that You would take my place, that You would bear my cross. You'd lay down Your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that You done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nation with truth and justice? Shine like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that You would take my place, that You would bear my cross. You'd lay down Your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that You've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. Then I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadow of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your weary body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. your very body begin to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion, declare the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is a victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ I came. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ I came. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrecting King is resurrecting me. The resurrecting King is resurrecting me. Oh, you're resurrecting me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Let us pray. May all the praises lift up the name of Jesus, for he is the victorious King. The battle has won, and Satan is defeated. The chains of sin is broken, and we are set free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he is not only the victorious King, he is the resurrecting. He has risen and overcome the grave. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the one who has authority over all things. So may his resurrecting power present within us and renew our heart and our spirit every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A quick recap of what we have talked about so far. Haynes, 3 weeks ago, talked about seven seals. When each seal was opened, a quarter of the people were affected. And Pastor Wilbur went on to talk about the seven trumpets. When each sounded, a third was affected. And as mentioned, Revelations is a book that is full of symbolism. Each symbol has a meaning. And going from a quarter to a third, we can see that destruction was getting progressively bigger. And last week, Pastor Carson talked about the red dragon. The red dragon that had seven heads and 10 horns. He talked about how the red dragon is the beast that wants to bring us down to hell with him and how he wants to turn us away from worshiping God. And because of how the whole earth worshipped the red dragon, how he worshipped the Satan, stated in chapter 13, verse 4, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? God's wrath came in the form of seven bowls, as mentioned in chapter 15 and 16. From seven seals to seven trumpets, and now to seven bowls, each of these judgments got progressively bigger. Destruction went from a quarter to a third, and right now, destruction is complete. In these seven bowls, it contained the wrath of God. There were painful sores, the sea becoming like blood that caused living beings to die in it. Rivers and springs of water became blood. Sun scorched people, darkness, water in the Euphrates dried up, and finally there was lightning, thunder, earthquake, and hailstones. But even with all this, people did not repent. Just as it happened with the trumpets, right now people did not repent after witnessing all this. Instead, they cursed God. They got angry at God for what they have done. And that leads us to chapter 17 and 18, which describes how bad things were and how hard it is to become a Christian or to remain a Christian in this environment. Chapter 17 and 18 also tells us how the wrath of God is justified. Let us start from chapter 17, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewel and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon, the great, mother of prostitutes and of earth abominations of her sexual immorality. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, of her sexual immorality. John described the great prostitute as a great prostitute seated on many waters with the kings that committed sexual immorality with wine of sexual immorality. Verse 3, a woman on scarlet beast with seven head and 10 horns. Verse 4, arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewel, pearls. And on her forehead it was written, Babylon, the mother of prostitutes and of earth abominations. And in verse 6, it described as drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And in this description, once again, it is symbolism. First off, the term Babylon is a representation of the strong and affluent ancient city that wielded great power. And to John, during his time, the term Babylon meant Rome, because that was the wealthiest and mightiest empire of his time. The image described symbolized the seductive appeal of both political and worldly economic system, which is driven by an individual's chase for power and money. The image is described shows that Babylon's extravagant clothing and jewelry signify the allure of prosperity. Her title represents the lust of godless society, that sensual pleasure, and how societies rejected all restraint. And her becoming drunk on the blood of saints revealed the culture that defied God in their pursuit for wealth and pleasure. And we can see from the picture that this can be described as opulence. It is extravagant. To understand the symbolism of Babylon better, we turn to Daryl Johnson's book, Discipleship on the Edge, an expository journey through the book of Revelations, for further reference. He suggests that we take note of verse 5, for it says, "Mother of prostitutes, of earth abomination." This phrase, it is important because it suggests that Babylon, representing Rome, the great capital of the Roman Empire that John was facing during that time, it was not the last. But it is a corrupt and rebellious city in the human history that was built upon the back of many for the good of few. It is very possible that there are many more to come. And this helps us to understand that Babylon is not only referring to a physical location, but instead there's a chance that one morning, each and every one of us will wake up in a modern age Babylon. And to understand the relevancy of the term Babylon to our current situation, let us first look closely at the background of this term Babylon. And when we talk about Babylon, this term, some of us would recall Daniel and his time in that city, as well as King Nebuchadnezzar. But I will connect the term Babylon to power, money, riches, land, and all of that is because that is what Babylon represented. It is a country that could besiege Jerusalem and conquer it. The military prowess of Babylon was not to be underestimated. Looking at different historical texts, we can determine and conclude that Babylon was a great power, a great nation, a great empire. It is one that stretched from the Persian Gulf all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. A long time ago, when people choose to leave God out of the equation, they built something. That was the Tower of Babel. And that Tower of Babel, the word Babel, is the root word for Babylon. It was a place where they wanted to show that they could do things without God. And with that in mind, we can deduce that Babylon is a term that could be made in reference to different cities in ancient time. It was Nineveh, it was Persia, Greece, Rome, and many others that did not have God in their lives. Babylon is not only about the money, not only about the power, but also the system. A system where it is set up to exploit the people. It could be political, economic, or even both. Any system that's set up to oppress people for the privilege of few is Babylon. This can be seen in each of the great examples. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, all these great empires, they were all built upon the backs of many for the good of the few. And when we bring that to our current time and ask ourselves, where is Babylon right now? The answer is, it is everywhere. It is here in Vancouver. It is in New York. It is everywhere. This brings us to chapter 17, verse 7 to 13, and it helps us to recognize the Babylonness that is all around us. For it says, "But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast with seven heads and 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction, and the dwellers on earth whose name have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come.'" This calls to mind with wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman is seated. There are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the others has not yet to come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seventh, and it goes to destruction. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. The beast that we see here is full of symbols that signify authority, power, and strength. A head is a symbol that represents authority. And in many cultures, the head is considered to be the most important part of the human body because it contains the brain. It's a symbolic of the life force that is in us. The head is the seat of reason, wisdom, and intellect. And such is the symbolism that the head has authority that we bow our head as a sign of worship, a sign of respect, and crowns are placed on the heads of royalty. And people in authority are known as heads. And the beast has 7 of them. Horns are also a symbol of strength. Using animals as our example, we can understand that symbolism better because horns are typically the weapons of animals. And the bigger the horn, it would mean that the stronger the animal. And it's usual that the animal with the biggest horn would be the leader of the pack or the group. Therefore, when we look at the beast, we can see that it's powerful and full of strength because of the 10 horns. And in other words, we can understand that the political and economic system that was built by Rome to exploit the oppressed was strong and powerful. But Daryl Johnson suggests that there are 7 marks to help us to recognize this oppressive system that could be Babylon, Rome, New York, London, Ottawa. And this 7 marks goes as such. The first mark of Babylonus is leaving the living God out of the equation. It's the idea that unless that something big is happening, we will not go to God. God is sidelined. People usually do not go to God unless there is a problem. And all around us, when we look at the governance of countries or cities, God's presence or His grace or His will or His purpose usually are left out of the center of the city. It is put at the side. More often than not, the governance of the place will be focused on what decision would reap the most benefit. And it's not just governments, but it's our own lives as well. How often have we blown off time to spend with God just because we pack our life brim full of things? We wake up at 7:30, we go to work, we start work at 8. After work, we go and meet our friends, go to gym, we work out, we watch a movie. And by the time we're done with everything, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, it's time for bed. Why? Because I have to wake up and repeat the same thing all over again. Where is your time with God? So I question myself. I question myself that if the time I spend with God is only on Sunday, where is God in my life? It's only 2 hours every Sunday and we have 24 hours a day. That means we have about 168 hours a week. But that's not even 2% of my time. When I leave God out of the equation, I am at a moral crossroad. What am I going to do when I'm confronted with decisions? What am I going to do when I'm faced with trials and challenges? And let us not start talking about God at the center of my life if God is not even a part of my life. 2% is just a small amount. It's not even a part of your life. Living in a Babylonian world is hard enough. Who is going to hold us at the center when we are facing the trials? When is God in the picture? When people are faced with issues, then they will remember God. Then they will go to God. But the question is, when? When would we remember? The second mark of Babylonus is sensuality. Today, products are sold by the appeal to the sex drive. Television programs grow more and more immoral. Lines of basic morality are crossed until a network can put on a show at 9 p.m. full of sex. And then, after that, there's singing of Silent Night, Holy Night in the background. And all over the world, in homes, in schools, in shops, music videos are played day in, day out with ladies who are dressed skimpily or guys who are just built with six packs. That is the kind of world we're living in. The third mark of Babylonus is injustice. Looking ahead to chapter 18, verse 12 to 13, we are given a list reflecting the value system of Babylonis, which is gold, silver, precious stone, fine linen, silk, wood, ivory, spice, oil, cattle, sheep, horses, and then people. That was in the olden times. Yet right now, this is what we are faced with. There are still human trafficking around the world. A lot of our businesses are built upon the backs of those who are struggling. But that is the kind of world we are living in right now. The fourth mark of Babylonis is violence. And we see countries constantly spending billions upon billions on their defense budget. If country A has a new aircraft carrier, country B would make sure that they have two submarines to counter that. And this is a never-ending contest of seeing who has the bigger stick. And this is something I experienced myself because back in Singapore, after I'm done with 2 years of army, I have to go back every single year for extra training to train myself in the newer developments of weapons, technology that we could use to show that I have a bigger stick than you do. And that is another mark. The fifth mark of Babylonis is deception and counterfeit. Right now, there are a lot of parodies about Christ. There are shows mocking the Bible. One of the few on Netflix is The First Temptation of Christ, and that show depicts Jesus as a gay man who's trying to come out. What kind of world are we living in? And that is one of the mark of Babylon. The sixth mark of Babylon is worship of products. Babylon finds her identity in what she produces. She thinks that she finds her security in the GDP, the gross national product. Decisions are made based on how much economic benefits does it bring us. Countries that care more about the amount of backup money they have in their Federal Reserves than the people that they are supposed to care and govern for. And we take this pandemic, for example, we read news where there are questionable actions of certain leaders where they would argue about social distancing is going to cause economical problems instead of focusing on trying to protect the people. This is the Babylonis that we are facing. And the last mark, the seventh mark of Babylonis is idolatry. The human species, we are incurably religious. We cannot help ourselves but we worship. And if it's not the true and living God that we are worshiping, what exactly are we worshiping? Is it money? Is it power? Or sometimes it might even be ourselves. This is especially close to heart because I see it everywhere. I see it in the people around me who are consumed with their thirst for power, consumed with their thirst for money. They're idolizing, they're worshiping something other than God. I have this friend who's so consumed with buying of Apple product that he worships. He worships the CEO. He worships Steve Jobs because of the different products that comes out. If there's a new Apple AirPods, he would be the first to be using it. If there's a new MacBook, he would be the first to buy it. And now that there's going to be a new iPad, he will be the first to purchase it. And that is his worship of that Apple idea that there's no other things. But that is the only thing that drives him to go to work, to earn the money, so that he can buy all these things. And that is idolatry. And another friend has this concept of worshiping, I only live once mindset. She would go out and do whatever she wants because she worships that mindset of, I only live once. And because I only live once, I do what I want. So her idol is herself. Idols in our lives are not only limited to the tangible, it is also the intangible. And when we look at it this way, Babylon is everywhere. It is in Singapore, it is in Vancouver, it is in New York, California, London. There's no place where Babylon is not around. But that is not the end. Because in chapter 17, verse 14 to 18, it says that they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and fruitful. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are people and multitudes of and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they are the beasts that will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to carry out His purpose by being of one mind and hating, handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth will fall. Babylon will fall. It will not last. Every single one of them, the city of Rome, the Greece and the Greeks, the Persian Empire, the Spanish Empire, the British Empire, each and every one of them has fallen. This will fall. Babylon will fall. And starting from verse 14, there is assurance. The beast will try, but Lord will conquer. Jesus will conquer. The Lamb will conquer. They will be conquered. And there is hope. Because when we look further, we will see more of the judgment that is to come in chapter 18. Chapter 18 tells us more about what will happen to the godless cities and empires. And the following verses tells us more about the fall. In verse 2, it says, "Fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great." In verse 8, it says, "For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her." And in verse 10, "Alas, alas, your great city, your mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment will come." In verse 14, "The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again." In verse 17, "For in a single hour all this wealth have been laid waste." In verse 19, "Alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste." And in verse 21, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more." From all these verses, it shows us that the godless city, the system of oppression, will fall. And it will happen very, very quickly. And when we look at verse 10, 17, 19, it says there's a phrase, "for in a single hour." It does not really mean that it's going to happen in an hour of 60 minutes, but it's a symbolism that it will happen very, very quickly. It's a symbolism that the fall of any mighty empire can come so quickly that it is not like an ant that's slowly nibbling at an elephant, but it's more like a pride of lions just tearing down the elephant, bringing it down to its knees. The fall will be swift and harsh, but we are warned and we are advised. We are given a warning in verse 4, for it says, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues." We are given the warning to come out of these godless cities. And when I was preparing this message, it opened my eyes and I saw that I am in Babylon. I am living in a world that Babylon is everywhere. I'm surrounded by the seven marks of a godless and rebellious city. And Jesus, through the angel, He has warned us and told us to leave. But my thought is, where can I go? Singapore? No. Vancouver? No. New York? No. Unless I want to go to Antarctica and leave, but that is not possible, right? I am living in a modern day Babylon. Where can I go? And we answer that question by understanding that the call is for us to live in, but not off Babylon. We are not to leave the cities because they are everywhere. Besides, where can we go? There's no place else. But what we are called to do is to leave the seven marks of any godless and rebellious and oppressive city. And if we look at it, if we look at the first mark, how can we do that? Is when you're leaving God out of your life, one way that you can bring God back into your life is to worship together as a family. And now that we're spending more time at home, take some time out every day to do daily devotion with your family. That is called bringing God back into your life. Bring God back into the equation. The second mark is sensuality. To avoid sensuality is to avoid shows that promote it, avoid products that promotes that. It is another thing to avoid pornography, because you might be watching here thinking you're harming no one, but it is promoting that kind of mindset. The third mark is injustice. And to avoid injustice, to fight back against injustice, is to be aware of the product that you're buying. The product that you're buying, is it produced and made in a sweatshop? Is it built upon the backs of the oppressed? Do some research about the product before you're buying it. The next mark is the fourth mark, the mark of violence. Think about the leader that you're putting in place. Think about the kind of person that you're letting him or her make the decision for the country. Consider peaceful resolutions. Be aware of shows that are promoting violence. To fight back against the fifth mark of deception and counterfeit is to avoid shows that mock up beliefs. It is to stand firm against the fact that some shows need not be watched. There are certain things that you could do without in your lives. You don't need that kind of entertainment. And the sixth mark, the mark of worship of the product, is consider, why am I buying something new? Do I really need that? Think of the reasons that you're going to that propels you or motivates you to buy a certain thing. Consider these things before you make a purchase. And the last one is idolatry. To fight back against idolatry, to leave idolatry, is to open our eyes. Open our eyes to see what holds sway over our decisions in life. What is the most important thing to you? Is it money? Is it power? Is it yourself? What rules your life? It is a challenge when we would try and align ourselves back to God in this kind of situation, in this kind of environment. It is definitely not easy. It is even a big challenge for myself. But when we do try and align ourselves with God, that is when we would put in the effort, we would bring God back into the equation. Start from the first one, bring God back into the equation. And He has given us communities, He has given us help. We have church, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Bible. These are things that can help us, and He has helped me. Take courage and obey that call to come out of Babylon. It is hard, but we are not alone. And last of all, focus. Focus on this verse that is given in chapter 17, verse 14. It says that the Lamb will conquer all. The Lamb will conquer all. Remember that. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray to You and I ask of You to help us to recognize these different marks of Babylon that's surrounding us. Not only help us to recognize it, but help us to push back, to fight back against it. Help us to leave these marks. Lord, I pray that You strengthen us and You help us to recognize what rules over our life and who holds the sovereignty in our life. It is You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Of my soul, I confide in You through all my darkest moment. In You I find my peace, my comfort when I'm weak. I trust in You through storm and raging seas. Faithful, You're my God. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Your light fills my days and leads me in Your ways. Forever I surrender all to You, and I live to worship You. My Jesus, you're the only one for me. Nothing would ever take your place, my precious Savior. Who can stand between my Lord and me? Lord, I live to honor you, and I long to bring my life an offering. Take me higher, draw me deeper. I give all to be with you. Faithful, you're my God. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Your light fills my days, leads me in your ways. Forever I surrender all to you, and I live to worship. My Jesus, you're the only one for me. Nothing would ever take your place, my precious Savior. Who can stand between my Lord and me? Lord, I live to honor you, and I long to my life an offering. Take me higher, draw me deeper. I give all to be with you, and I live to worship you. My Jesus, you're the only one for me. Nothing would ever take your place, my precious Savior. Who can stand between my Lord and me? Lord, I live to honor you, and I long to bring my life an offering. Take me higher, draw me deeper. I give all to be with you. Take me higher, draw me deeper. I give all to be with you. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for being faithful through all of our challenges. Your presence comforts us, and your light leads us in the way of life everlasting. So may our lives become a living sacrifice, one that worships and honors you every day, for you are worthy. You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we bring our service to a close, I want to encourage you to keep worshiping through offering. You can do that through credit card, through check, and right now there should be a screen. And if you bring your phone and go open to your camera app and just hover it over one of those QR codes, it will bring you to a credit card offering method or a check offering method. So you can do that with that phone app that you do. And I want to just share with you, through offering, you're not only supporting the church and our ministry, you're also supporting the community, because for the past couple of weeks, we have actually been donating a portion of our offering to the Richmond Hospital, to Food Bank, and also to some nonprofit organizations such as Mission Possible. We've also been giving some of our resources, you know, some of the masks, some of the food that we've collected from brothers and sisters to these organizations. So I want to encourage you, keep offering and supporting the church, but also through that way, support the community. I have two more announcements that I want to let you know. The first thing is that we have a new devotional schedule out. We have a devotional plan called Enter Through the Veil. And the purpose of that is for us to set aside some time to spend with God daily and to build up a habit, a rhythm. And enter through the veil because in the Old Testament, the veil was the thing that blocked the people from going to God. And we can enter through the veil in that way, through the Word, into His presence. So we have a new schedule out. We're going to read the book of Matthew, and we're going to read a bunch of New Testament letters from the New Testament writers. So I encourage you to start that schedule with us, with the whole church. And you can find that schedule on mykec.ca. You can go find that and have a digital version and follow along that way. Second announcement is next week we're going to take communion together. We haven't taken communion for a while because of this worship at home thing, but we're going to take communion next week. So prepare some bread, prepare some grape juice if you can. If you don't have grape juice, you can get some other juice as a substitute for now. That's okay too. So next week we're going to take communion together. Make sure you get some of those elements. So let me send you out with the word from God. So church, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. We'll see you next week, church.